If you have a Bible, we're going to be reading from Hebrews 6. That's where we're going to spend most of our time today. Hebrews 6. Oh, by the way, good morning to the church. Good morning. Good morning. Hebrews 6. It says, "Therefore, let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death, and of faith in God, instruction about baptisms, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And God permitting, we will do so. It is impossible for those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, who have shared in the Holy Spirit, who have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the coming age, and who have fallen away, to be brought back to repentance. To their loss, they are crucifying the Son of God all over again and subjecting him to public disgrace. Over the past decade, I have witnessed a decline in the number of people who actively say they have faith in God. I have seen a decline in the number of people who are active in their faith. And I hope and pray that God speaks through me to help ensure that doesn't happen here today. In order for that to begin, however, there needs to be something on your part. Self-evaluation. Think about your Christianity. Think about your relationship with Christ. Now in the verse, it talks of acts that lead to death. We see in Galatians 5, verse 19 and on, what some of those acts are. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft, and the list goes on. And it says, "I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God." These acts of flesh go against our faith. They deteriorate our faith. But where does faith begin? It begins in you. You hear it, you believe it, you commit to it. God made us very aware to the fact that we are alive, and the person you see in the mirror is you, not somebody else. You are your own person. You have your own life, your own role. And again, your faith, you hear it, you believe it, you commit to it. But commitment is hard. It can be very hard. I know from my 18 years on this earth that commitment is hard. I've realized that Christianity is a hard thing to commit to as well. I've also realized that to be a willful Christian, it's even harder because it's more than just surface level thinking. It requires us to think more. It requires actual thought. There are so many distractions in this world that can keep us from doing that, but we have to think deeper, to go deeper with our faith. We have to study his word. We have to study what Jesus did, what he did in his interactions with everybody. Because Christianity is more than just saying. There's a lot of Christians in here who like to say who they are, but there are fewer who actually live out that word. What is it to come to all the functions but not be a part of the team? What is it to spend all your time in the pool but never swim? What is it to live your whole life telling God you're a Christian but never show him by your actions? And we learn how to do these things from the Bible. Wow, the Bible. You remember that thing? We learn how to do these things from the Bible, but we can't learn from it if we don't read it. Some of our Bibles are collecting dust throughout the week because they're only opened on Sundays. We need to really read it, to think, to take the true meaning based on the text as a whole, instead of making our own definitions, to consume what it is saying, because when we do that, we are able to apply it to our lives. In James chapter 1, starting at 22, it says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do." You have to read through the Bible. Not just the verse of the day, but the chapters of the day. That is the book God gave us to make us better. So why shouldn't we read it? We as Christians. I guess if you were a Christian and didn't read your Bible, it would be like clicking the accept button on a website and forgetting to read through the terms and conditions. Because that's where our faith is built. Our faith revolves around how we see and act because of our relationship with God. And it needs to get better. How are we supposed to have a cross on the outside of this church building to to show the world, but not have our own faith building inside of us, the people of the church. How can we still be stuck in our immature, elementary faith and yet proclaim to others that they need to strengthen theirs? Oh, look at them. They need Jesus. They need Jesus right there. You see him? No. The fact of the matter is we all need Jesus. The fact of the day is the world needs Jesus. The world has an elementary, rudimentary understanding about Christ, and it is our job for them to take forward, to be taken forward to maturity. You can do God's work. It doesn't matter if you're 12, 7, if you are young, build your faith, solidify it. So as you grow, you can truly outreach. If you are older, set an example with your faith. Teach the young people, or if need be, teach the older people. But it starts with you. We have to realize that it starts with us. We have to realize that God requires us to grow. You can see later in our verse in Hebrews 6 that it says, land that drinks in the rain, often falling on it, and that produces a crop useful to those for whom it is farmed, receives the blessings of God. But land that produces thorns and thistles is worthless, is in danger of being cursed. In the end, it will be burned. That is our eternal judgment. Just because Jesus has not returned yet does not mean he never will. And we don't know the day, no, but until the day comes, we have to work to do. Matthew 24 says, but about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. We have to have a realization with ourselves that there is no limit to our faith. And because of that, we should be trying every single day to improve ourselves before we run out of days to do so. Mature in your faith. Sit down with yourself and mark all the points in your life where you need to personally improve in your walk with Christ. In the verse, it also says the laying on of hands. I had to do some research for this. In this context, it means healing and blessing others. It is a plain and simple context, very simple. Except for the fact that in order to heal others, we have to first heal ourselves. Before we bless others, we have to recognize our blessings. A surgeon doesn't go to work with broken hands. They can try, but it won't be that successful. And we can be surgeons too. The verse also says instructions about baptism. It's a commitment. Baptism is saying, okay, I know right from wrong. I know God. I know that this is a big thing, but I want to do this because I love God more than I just the baseline. I want to commit my life to him. There's no one else I would ever dream of committing my life to. And some of us aren't baptized. Some of us aren't. That's okay. It is. But I ask why. It's in our nature as human beings to commit to something, to someone. You could commit to others, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your husband, your wife, your favorite sports team, your food, the bad things, even yourself. Yet you aren't committed to the one true committee. See, all of those things can leave you, all of them. They can be there one day and gone the next. But I want you to ask yourself this, has God ever turned his back on you? And we forget that. Has God ever turned his back on you? A lot of us refuse to accept that truth, and we say to ourselves, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. And you're right. You're not worthy. I'm not worthy. He's not worthy. She's not worthy. Everyone has sinned and will sin, but that should not keep you from stepping away from the forgiver, but stepping towards the forgiver. That is the biggest reason. I have my own issues with sin. I struggle with girls. I struggle with lust. That's just my reality. And you have yours. And because of my sin, people will look at me different. Because of your sins, people will look at you different. Because of myself, I look at myself as worthless sometimes. My relationship with myself is... It can be weakened. But I'm so amazed, I'm so eternally grateful that my relationship with God has not. My relationship with God never will. And even if it did, it would be because of me. Yet he still loves me. He still has perfect love for an imperfect child. He's seen all of my faults. And yours, the lying, the cheating, the judging, the greediness, the idolatry. You who didn't trust him that one time. You who cursed another. Oh, hold up now. Who gambled that money away when you were an alcoholic, a hypocrite, one who lusted, the one who not only acted in an unholy way, but thought in an unholy way. Some of you are scared that when you get baptized, you'll sin and let everyone down. A few days after I was baptized, I sinned. Go figure. Everyone knew I did, but they also knew that they had sinned before. In John chapter 8, it's a story about the woman caught in adultery. And the religious people, came to Jesus and said, "This is the law. This should be her punishment." When they kept on questioning him, they're talking about Jesus, he straightened up and said to them, "Let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." This relationship between you and God isn't about other people. Everyone didn't create you. Everyone didn't breathe life into you. So why should anyone have a say in that matter? There are also those of us who have been baptized and are still in stagnant religious states. And that shouldn't be. We have been enlightened, as the verse says. We have tasted the heavenly gift. We have tasted the goodness of the word of God and the powers of the coming age. Yet we are still stagnant in our faith. So what do? We spend less time focusing on us and more time focusing on God. We give the world this much, and we give God that much. You are loved by God, and I hope you know that. The great giver, the great creator of everything. But how can you love the created more than the creator? And it seems that some of us have gotten bored with our faith. We feel like we're just reading the same verses, doing the same godly things. What do you do in a marriage when you get bored? What do? You try new things. You go somewhere different to eat. It's the same thing with our faith. Do something different. Improve. Study deeper. Reach farther. What if Jesus stopped his mission after he turned water into wine? People forget that. But that was the very beginning of his ministry. And this is yours. Use it. Mold it. Mold yourself to be better for God, because he has always been his best for you. In the verse, it says, "Even though we speak like this, dear friends, we are convinced of better things." In your case, the things that have to do with salvation, God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. We want each of you to show the same diligence to the very end, so what you hope for may be fully realized. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who, through faith and patience, inherit what has been promised. Can we all stand, if you're able? And take a hand. Take the hand of the person next to you. Nobody's perfect. If we were, we wouldn't need Jesus. But we all do, and we all need to find it within ourselves to truly reach and expand our faith. And we can't do that without maturing, without getting past the elementary. without repenting, without reading your Bible, without blessing and healing, without committing your life, without realizing what is at stake, your soul. If you're feeling convicted by anything I said today, please come forward. Or our elders will be in the back. And if you're wanting to get baptized, and I hope you are, we can talk about it. It doesn't have to be today. It doesn't have to be tomorrow. But I hope you realize that that is the greatest gift you can ever receive. I just hit something. Okay, I'm cool. That's the greatest gift you can ever receive. I hope you realize that. We can talk about it. And if you want to do it today, we can do it. We can do it. But if you have anything to say, please come forward as we sing.